All right. Thank you, folks. Good to see everyone today. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad to have you. This is Anniversary Sunday here at Landmark. We got this started something like 51 years ago. And I celebrated 50 of them. And somebody saw the old car sitting out front and said, "What is that?" That's a 51 Ford. It was a gift from the church. If I stay another 50 years, they're going to give me another one. Not sure about that. Been joking with Brother Parsons. This is his first anniversary Sunday. He's been pastor a year, doing a great job, and we're proud of that. I've joked with him about it a little bit. I told him, just think, you only got 49 more years to go. Amen. And we are very proud of the way things are going. I know we'd have a bigger crowd if it hadn't been so much snow and ice this morning. Trouble is, it's not that bad out there with the sun shining, but there's folks that haven't come out to see if the sun come up yet. They got bluffed out by the fake news media that it was going to be so cold to stay in the house. And so they're not even as good as the groundhog coming out looking for his shatter this morning. But we're glad you come, and maybe some more will come on in by 11, get the crowd on up a little bit. And we got the big celebration party after church over on the ball field. And we're hoping the kids were able to ride the buses. It's for them. But, you know, kids come older than they used to. And we got kids now that enjoy the party at 60 and 70 years old over there. And so you're invited. And we'll have a good time. I just want to warn you, they are serving hot dogs and hamburgers, and they're having a lot of fun things. Go on over and take your chance, but just know this, we also have a lottery going, and the lottery is to who goes in the dunk tank. Not really. In fact, I would not think it would be wrong if they called the dunk tank off this morning. We've seen some brave college students a few times. I felt sorry for them, but not sorry enough to trade places with them, I'll tell you that. Anyway, we're glad you're here. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Revelation. We're going to take the last few verses of chapter 20. We've been teaching this last book in the Bible now for a long time, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The good news is we've read the back of the book, and the good folks win. Amen. And the bad folks lose. Right now, it don't look that way to us. And it hadn't looked that way on planet Earth for a long time. It looked like that evil's in the driver's seat and doing what it wants to do. But there is coming a time when things are going to shift over. If you remember the story of the Apostle Paul being struck down on the road to Damascus and being called of Christ, he was on his way right then persecuting the church. And one of the things the Lord told him when he struck him down and converted him, he said, "I'm going to show you what great things you'll have to suffer for me." In other words, I'm putting the shoe on the other foot. You're making God's people suffer, but now you're going to be one of them. And the truth is, the shoe's going to go on the other foot one of these days, and we're going to see the difference. And this passage we study right here this morning, very important. And I got to give you just this much to remember. When you get near the back of the book of Revelation, we're seeing good things happen. In chapter 19, we see the Lord opening heaven and coming back leading the army of heaven to set up his kingdom on earth. That kingdom has been prophesied through history. Every time you've ever recited the so-called Lord's Prayer, you're asking God for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, for him to set up his kingdom. Right now, Satan, a lot of folks don't understand this. You blame God for a lot of things, but it's Satan behind it all. The conspiracies, the evil that's going on, the big plot, the globalistic plan is anti-God plan. Well, Satan is anti-God. He's trying to have his kingdom. That's what he tried from the beginning. You read Isaiah chapter 14, you'll find out when the devil tried to put his throne above God's throne. And when he said, "I will," and he fell through his pride, but he has made mankind on earth the target from the Garden of Eden on, and we're still reaping from that today. But he don't win. The Bible does tell us he's the God of this world. If you don't believe it, all you got to do is watch the news, watch the TV a little bit, watch society a little bit, and you find out that there's too many folks doing the devil's will instead of God's. And it's getting worse. That's no surprise to God. He wrote a book. We call it the Bible. And in the Bible, he said, evil men will wax worse and worse. Is that not what is happening? Of course it is. And the absurd things today, the absurd things that we just would have never thought we'd have seen in America, lay it at Satan's feet and those that are following him instead of the Lord. So as we move through Revelation, we are in the book of Revelation, far as the church, up to about chapter 4. And then the church is called out. So you and I are living right now, waiting on the trumpet to sound and call God's bride, God's people, God's church home. At that point, Satan is going to be unrestricted on earth. He is restrained now. You know, the truth in this world right now, you have both good and bad. And the good is some restraint on the bad. Seems like the bad is winning, and apparently so. But still, when the good or the ones that have received Christ through his goodness are caught out, the restrainer will be gone, and Satan will have his way. If you think it's bad now, hang around. If you're not saved and you stay here, it's going to be an awful time on planet Earth. It's called in the Bible the day of the tribulation period. Now, it's specifically given to Israel, to the Jews, the day of Jacob's trouble, but it'll be a time the Antichrist kingdom's in charge. That's when you have to have the mark of the beast. I think we're getting prepped for that right now with these mandatory vaccines and the government control, and folks don't know where to get up in the morning. I talked to a man in Canada, one of our church members up there. He said, it's like being in prison up here. He said, we can't even visit our neighbor. He said, you got to, I believe he said, one person go to the grocery store at a time. In other words, that's, if you want the government to be the one that takes care of you, I got news for you. It's not good. It's not good. I've said this before because we got some missionaries to the Indians out west. If you want total government care, go out there and look at the reservations. Go out there and see what they've done for the Native American out there. They'll do the same thing for you. They'll tell you when you can get up, when you can go to bed, what you can have, how much you can spend, where you can go, how far you can drive. All the rest of that stuff is right on the verge of happening right now. So that time will come. It's called the tribulation period in the Bible. But it ends with Jesus coming back. Everybody's heard of the Battle of Armageddon. At the Battle of Armageddon, what you really have is the Lord Jesus returning to earth, leading the army of saints, and setting up his kingdom. Isn't it a sad thing? The one that created it all, the one that gives us breath to live, has to come back by force to set up his perfect kingdom, to undo the curse of sin. Have to do it by force. I've said this before. If he would come back humble as he did the first time, they'd crucify him again. But he's not coming back that way. He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time as a lion. And that time, when he comes as a lion, he'll set up his kingdom. And that's what we've been studying now in this last chapter. Chapter 20, not the last chapter. We got two to go. But somebody said the preacher's dragging his feet in the book of Revelation, not getting through, hoping the Lord's coming before he finishes. And I still got two chapters to go. Just remember that. I may still see that happen. Amen. All right. I want us to read the last few verses of chapter 20. We're going to start in about verse 11, if you'll open. Now, I know you can find this because this is the last book in the Bible. Now, if you're going over a little bit too far, that's the concordance. Come back. I'm joking with you some now. I hope you come on back to the last chapter. Pick it up in chapter 20, and then let's go down to verse 11. Now, remember, the Antichrist's kingdom has been put down. Christ has set up his kingdom. His kingdom now is told us in chapter 20 that it's 1,000 years long on planet Earth. 1,000 years without the curse of sin. That'll be something, won't it? The weather will be just right. We won't have to worry on Sunday morning whether it's going to freeze or not. Amen? It'll be just right. And during that 1,000 years, the rose bush will lose its thorns. The animals will quit eating each other. And yet man in his flesh, there'll still be sinners that'll be born and still have a choice to choose the Lord or not. But at the end of that 1,000 years, we'll study it in the next two chapters, the new heavens and the new earth. We're not quite there yet in chapter 20. There's a big thing taking place as we read about it here in verse 11. It says, I saw a great white throne. In college, Bible college, and in theological books, this is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's a different dispensation now. Right now, you can't be saved by good works. Right now, you have to be saved only by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. But here now, at the end of the millennial reign, there's some folks that's going to be at this great white throne judgment that had a chance in the kingdom age of Christ. Some that even had a chance in the tribulation period, whether they take the mark of the beast and worship him or not. But the grace age Christians, the church, the Bible says the Lord started the church, said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the church age, we call the grace age, and accurately so. And so that will take place. The Christians will be judged for rewards. Not their sins. Their sins were judged on the cross when Jesus died for us. You heard the McBride singing, three men on the cross a while ago. One of them railed on Jesus. One of them turned and believed on Jesus. That made the difference in where they went. Still makes a difference in where man goes today. What you do with Jesus, that's the key. What have you done with him? Have you accepted him, believed on him? Or have you said no to him? Just like the two thieves that died with Christ on the cross, one went one way, one went another, depending on what they thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. Still true today. Now here as we read these verses, a great white throne he sees. He sees the dead, small and great, stand before it. He sees the books that are opened, and man is judged. Now this is called the Last Judgment. As you study it in history, as you study it in literature, as you study great shelves of books written about it, man knows there is a last judgment coming and he fears it. Think about that. This truth that we're studying here has been taught by all religions, and all religions are not right. There's one right way, and that's Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. But you take world religions, you take Judaism, you take the Muslim religion, Islam, you take Christianity, all the different forms you might name, you'll find one thing they all agree on. There is a last judgment to face. Why do they all agree on that? Because it's in the heart of man to know that one day he's going to stand before his Creator. It's in here. It's feared. Because every man... Somebody says, he has a guilt complex. All mankind has a guilt complex. Because if we recognize the truth at all, we recognize we come short. And if there's a judgment, which side we're going to fall on? I personally knew that from a kid on. Didn't go to Sunday school, didn't know nothing about the Bible. But I feared in my heart one day facing God. That's true with every man. Oh, every man won't admit it, but you got to watch it today. We're in the day of not only fake news, but man's been putting out fake news all his life. And all of us have talked to people saying one thing, and we know they didn't believe it. We know they were faking it. And we all fake it to some degree, but there's a fear born in the heart of man that one day he's going to face his maker. He's going to face the Creator. So this judgment is taught. It's the light, we call it the last judgment, accurately so here in the Bible, taught by Jews, but Muslims. And it's in the heart of man. Let me read you a verse. I won't take time to ask you to turn to it, but Ecclesiastes is, in a sense, a worldly book in the Bible. In Ecclesiastes, it is telling what happens under the sun, all that man can see naturally, all that the flesh can perceive. His taste, he hears, he breathes, all these things that are coming to man. And he makes these observations, but he also speaks about what's in the heart of man. I turn to the very last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes and read it to you. It says here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Then in the last verse, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, every secret thing. A lot of secret stuff going on today. We're in the age of deception. But none of it's secret from God. He knows it all. And recorded in man's heart, he has a fear the day that the secrets will be revealed by Jesus Christ to the Father, and there will be this great judgment to face. And we call it the last judgment here. It's the last judgment for the unsaved. Now, we find out who the judge is. Again, if you were to reference it, we'd go over to John chapter 5, and it tells us who the judge is going to be. And you can find it if you want to look for it. I'm having to turn myself here. John chapter 5, and pick it up with me in about verse 22. I believe it's where I'm going. And it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus, the Son of God, is going to be the judge. He will be the judge. All judgment, John 5:22, is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go a little bit more to the right from John and pick up Acts, the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, after the Lord Jesus is caught back up to heaven, pick it up in John chapter 17. Here you have the setting of a pagan setting, a Greek city, worshiping an unknown God, unknown the true God, and a false gods they worshiped. And so over in Acts chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 31. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. All false religion is a time of ignorance. But he says, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Well, who was it raised from the dead? It was Jesus, the only one. All religious leaders can claim something, but when they die, they stay dead. Jesus said, destroy this body and I'll raise it up, and he did. So we know who he's talking about. Who's the judge? Appointed by God to judge the world in righteousness. What's his name? It's the Lord Jesus, the one that rose from the dead. He hath forgiven assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. In the very next verse, it says, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some still do. Some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. You know what's true in that day was still true today. A preacher, I've been pastoring 53 years. I've shared the gospel with many congregations through the years. And guess what? The reaction's still the same three ways. Some mock. Some say, we'll wait till later. Hear you again. Thank God there's a third one. Some believed. Some believed. Some got saved. It'll be that way today here in this building. There'll be some, although they won't openly mock, but in their heart they say, that couldn't be true. God knows what you think as well as what you say. And some will mock, and some say, well, later on, I'm not quite ready yet. Ever heard that one? I've heard people on the deathbed. After the doctor walked out of the room, I'm standing there as a pastor, and I've heard the doctor say, "You got just a few days," and walk out. And I say, "Don't you think it's about time to receive Christ as your Savior?" "Well, I'm going to wait. I'm not quite ready yet." And more than one time, I've gone back the next day, and they were gone. I could tell you story after story and give you names. Man has in his flesh to make excuse, to dodge, to fake it. But this judgment is coming. Every soul is a living soul. When you read in the book of Genesis, when God created Adam, he created him a living soul, not a dying soul. There's a sense that you die eternally in hell, but there's a sense that the soul never dies. Everybody has eternal life. That's what you fear. Somebody said, I die and I'll be like an old dead dog. You don't know much about that either, but anyway. Or an old dead tree limb falls out there. Oh, no, you won't. There's a difference. Yeah, your flesh will go back to dust, but your soul is long gone and will stand in the presence of God. That's the judgment we're talking about. Here now, near the end, is the end, the great white throne judgment, just before the new heavens and the new earth is created in the next chapter. Here's the big judgment. Jesus is the judge. Who's the jury? Well, sorry to tell you, we Christians get accused all the time of judging somebody. No, we don't, but this time coming, we are. You're not going to like this. But some of the jury is going to be made up of born-again Christians. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me give you a little proof verse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 if you want to. Pick it up in 1 Corinthians 6. We'll pick it up in, maybe verse 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians 6. And we find out we Christians, you know, we're admonished not even to go to law with each other. We're admonished to treat each other as brethren and not to go to law before the lost world. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said that they'll know us by our love. We're supposed to love one another. But I pick it up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Says, "Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know?" Now here's what it says in verse 2. "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" You thought that was my idea, didn't you? No, I got it from God right here out of his book. "The saints shall judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Your fence is 2 foot over my property." Two deacons in a church. Now that has happened, folks. I made that up, but I can look it up and find you some cases. It's amazing sometimes how we practice Christianity in the church, but outside the church we don't. And that's a shame. That's the flesh, letting the flesh get in the driver's seat. But the time's coming, the scripture tells us, that we're going to judge the world. Look on down a little further, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 and 3. Verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" Wait a minute. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, the day's going to come, we're going to sit in the same jury. And we got something to say about the angels that left their first estate and fell into sin. Read about it in Genesis chapter 6. Read about it in the little book of Jude. Yeah, fallen angels, there are some fallen angels. And yes, the saints of God are going to be part of this jury that passes judgment on them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I didn't write it. A lot of folks think I did. Just because I'm old, they think I was way back there and wrote the Bible, but I didn't. But I have read it some. And I want to tell you, it contains a lot of stuff that you don't hear real often, but it's the real truth. The judge is Jesus, this last judgment. The jury will be born again Christians from the church age. And the secrets of men will be exposed, according to Romans chapter 2. Oh, don't we live in a time of deception right now? Somebody was talking to me this morning about the fake news of everything. We got half of America shut up behind doors fearing for the COVID to kill everybody that walks outside. Folks, you can call it COVID or you can call it flu. It was called flu a long time before it was called COVID. And people did die of the flu. At the same rate, if you'll check the stats, go back to 2018. You'd never heard the word COVID in 2018. Go back and look how many died of flu in 2018. All of a sudden, we've made a booger man. You'd have to be in my background to know the booger man, but made a booger man out of COVID to the place that God's people have gone nuts over it and basically disobeyed God with it. So how's that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together except for COVID. I added that. You know I added that. Right? I don't know about you, but I've always felt like God was the one that would decide when it was time for me to go and the way I'd go. I'm being mean now. I can't help it a little bit. Wouldn't it be something, you got all your shots and all your booster shots. On the way home from the doctor, you have a car wreck and die. Now, being facetious, I suggest it's probably happened. It's probably happened. A preacher friend of mine years ago, he was a great man of God. He wouldn't even drink coffee. He was taking care of himself so good. And then he died in a plane crash. Now, I've joked with some of his friends and said, he could have went ahead and drank all the coffee he wanted. Wouldn't change the thing, would it? Now, we'd be facetious about it, but we shouldn't be foolish as God's people. We're supposed to trust him, supposed to believe, and our life's in his hands. And that's good talk in church, but how about it when we get outside to live it? Do we really live by it? We really live by it. The jury will be born again Christians. The prosecuting attorney, we hate to face him. Who's the prosecuting attorney? It's the devil. I don't have time to turn the verses, but you'll read where the beast has something to say. In Daniel chapter 7, the Satan that's in the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 12, which we've already covered, we find out that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Thank God for the day the angels will cast him out and he'll no longer be able to come and accuse. Did you ever read the book of Job and see how the devil shows up? He shows up to accuse Job to God, but then he turns around and accuses God to Job. He works both sides. And sadly, it works on both sides so much of the time. He is the accuser of the brethren, but the Bible tells us in Revelation 12 that the accuser of the brethren, accuser of the saints, accuser of God's people is going to be cast down, never to accuse us anymore. Right now, before the throne of God, Satan has the privilege to come in. Point out Brother Perkins, Brother Carter, point out all of us. Say, look, did you hear what he said? Do you see what he's thinking? Now you say, the devil lying on me. Oh, he don't have to lie on you. All he has to do is tell the truth on you. The truth's bad enough. Yeah, he can accuse me. Oh, I got good news. There's another one up there called our advocate. That's Jesus. Jesus. He's our advocate before the throne. So the prosecuting attorney, the devil, says Mickey Carter's guilty. Jesus steps up and said, I know it, but I paid for that sin. I shed my blood for that sin. Guess what? I'm going to win my case. It's already been won in Jesus. Amen. Oh, that's great, isn't it? Here's the good news. I don't have to stand before this great white throne judgment. I've already had my sins judged on the cross of Calvary. I'll not hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That'll be the crowd that rejected Christ, stood in their own goodness, stood in their own pride, and found out how short they came. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This great white throne judgment, all big religions teach there is one. Man fears it in his heart. No doubt he does. The only way you're going to get rid of that fear is to know that Jesus represents you. You trusted him. You accepted him. The one that died for every sin. What does that mean? Every evil thought you ever had. Every evil act you ever done. Every wrong thing. Jesus took it on him and died for your sins on the cross. He paid for your ticket to heaven. It's already bought and paid for. Would you accept it? To accept the Lord Jesus Christ is to accept the payment he made, a payment you couldn't make. You couldn't pay it. It was too high. But he paid it for you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That follows the verse before it, Romans 10:9, where it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Somebody says, what's this business about being saved? It's what you do with Jesus. Confess him as Lord, the one that died for you. Believe on him. Promise of God's word is, thou shalt be saved. The Bible don't flower it up. You know, today you go to modern churches and they say, well, make a decision for Christ. Let me tell you what to do. Get saved. Get born again. Don't flower up the language. It's heaven or hell. That's the difference. And Jesus makes the difference. Today you'll hear the preacher come in and he'll preach the gospel. He'll give you a chance to step out behind that pew and come down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I did it one day, long time ago. Best thing I ever done, and I would never take it back. No matter how bad the world gets, it's settled. I know how I'm coming out on the other side. I'll not fear this great white throne judgment. I'll not fear this last judgment, because Jesus took my judgment. He represented me. And though I don't deserve it at all, I'm going on his merit. I have no righteousness, but he gave me his. That's why I can call on the name of the Lord, and he's my Savior, and I'll not have to fear this great white throne judgment. All history, all religions know it's coming. But you know you can settle it before you get there. Settle it now by receiving Christ as your Savior. All right, my time is up. I don't see my report down here. We're not even going to have it this morning until the end. We're expecting about 10,000 people show up today. Somewhere. It's going to be a good crowd here, but not what it would have been if the snow had held back. Amen. Going to have about 7 or 8 minutes break here. Use the restrooms and so on. We'll get the preaching service started. Stay with us. Going to have a big party on the ball field after church.